Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there.
Here's the decision that I'm going to propose, that each of us get a pick, two picks. You pick one that's stakeholder, what have you, in the business that's going to come to the table, the second, a citizen. One of the biggest goals, the biggest goal I have, and I think everybody on this board has the same goal, I know they do, is to get trust back into this board. And it really upsets me when I see members of the community that are bent, they're hell-bent on it. They're hell-bent on making something out of nothing. And it does become discouraging. It really does. Because this is not... the bottom line is it comes back to us. We're the decision makers.
That's right. Kerry Smith, who is the chairman of Santa Rosa County Commission, talking there. He's also the district... I got to think about this for a second. Two representative, which is East Milton. What happens is... I know what area of the county they all are, like, representing, and then I have to think through which one is which is number two, because it's not quite as front of mind for me as the Escambia County Commission districts. And they also don't matter quite as much in Santa Rosa County because everybody's elected by everybody. You know, they have to live in the district, but everybody in Santa Rosa County votes for every district. It's a little different than in Escambia County, where only the people in District 2 get to vote for the person from District 2. But I digress. Kerry Smith is the chairman of the board, and they were talking about the formation of the, I don't remember what they're actually calling it. It's the Citizens Initiative to Fix Everything and Make the World Rosy Task Force or something like that. It's the Land Development Reform Task Force. They are calling it a task force, but it's... You know, it's got a funny name, and I just can't remember it. It's got Citizen in there somewhere. Kind of reminds me of the old, you remember Dilbert? You know, Scott Adams, the classic cartoon. The one thing that I remember forever from Dilbert is not actually anything that's from the strip itself. It's from the website that Scott Adams had made, or that the Dilbert people had made, and it had the mission statement, Dilbert mission statement generator, where you could just... hit play, and it was like the slot machine of business doublespeak would produce for you some random phrase that sounds vaguely like the mission statement of an organization. And you could, we are here to maximize the efficiencies of outsourcing inequalities, to, you know, like just, you know, total nonsense. And I don't know, whenever governments name things, that's what it always reminds me of. Which I'm sure was part of Scott Adams' point, not necessarily just businesses. Anyway, so the point of this is to get a couple of key areas changed when it comes to the Land Development Code, having to do with stormwater, if I remember correctly, and you know, runoff from construction sites is a big topic, clearing of land and tree protection. Those are kind of the main ones. I might be forgetting one, but it's only a couple of areas. Not the whole LDC. They're not going in for another deep dive like we've done, it seems like, every 3 months in Santa Rosa County over the last 10 years. But anyway, the controversy of the moment is not over whether that should be done. It's over who should do it. And the original proposal that Colton Wright had come up with, District 4, District 5, which is Santa Rosa, like Gulf Breeze and Midway, what he had come up with was, hey, let's get some experts in here. You know, let's get some community members who are passionate citizens. Let's get some industry professionals who work on construction. Let's get some people who have an interest, like Matt Posner from the watershed. Let's just get a bunch of people in here and let's give them the task of look at these three areas and come back to us with your recommendations. And his initial proposal was, let's have five people that we all agree are the right people, and then let's each put one person, and then we'll have 10. And then he thought about it a little bit more, and he comes back, and they all said yes. Okay, the commissioners said yes. And then he says, well, maybe we could add these two, and the two made sense to me, and let's make it 12. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, at least on social media, where the agitators and the trolls and the pitchforkers and, you know, just the people who are never able to be happy about anything, and they raised the stink, and, you know, it was assisted by some reporting in the media making it seem like all of a sudden the builders were in control of this thing, which they were never more than a third of it, and I think that if you're going to regulate the builders in some way, that the builders ought to be involved in the process, because there are good builders, there are bad builders, and then there are non-builders, and, you know, you want the good builders and the non-builders to make some rules to make the builders do the right stuff, because it's the bad builders that you're trying to regulate. Anyway... then all of a sudden it became, well, you're taking the power away from the citizens and you're not doing a good thing. And this is a secret gift to the building. Oh, good Lord. So this is why he's reacting to that and now trying to figure out, well, what do we do with this task force? How many people and which should each of us get to say? And so Kerry came back and said, look, I think maybe the answer here is let's keep it at 10. Each of us can, the five commissioners, can make two appointments, one who's an expert or professional and one who's not. Whatever that means, it's at least something a little bit more bite-sized. You don't have all the challenges of figuring out, well, do we all have consensus on these five, and are there too many builders represented, and then we're each accountable for who we put out. Okay, so that's where they're at, and they're still trying to emphasize. You know, but the point here is to bring some reforms.
You just have to come to us with enforceable ideas. Now, that sounds simple. But when you get into the enforcement part of it, now you've opened up. Now you're looking under the kimono now.
I got to be honest. That's not one I'd heard before. PJ, is that a expression you've heard before for investigating something carefully?
No way.
What are you checking for at this point under the kimono? I'm not sure, but okay, fine. Rhett Rowell, a commissioner, I like Rhett. I think Rhett's a good guy. His name is a little reminiscent of Scooby-Doo. Okay. Rhett Rowell. So he knows it. I wish he would have done ads based on that. I think they would have been funny. But anyway, he says, look, you're not going to make a board of 10 or 12 or anything where you're going to get this, like, perfect blend of representation. It's always a challenge. The Tourism Development Commission in Escambia County is, what is the number? I think it's, like, four or five from the vacation community, like the hoteliers and the beach get a couple, and then tourist-adjacent people, like, you know, my boss Mary was on there because we're an advertiser that depends on, you know, tourism. It's a weird thing to try to make these boards in their composition, because the category is a little bit fluid and whatever, but you try, right? But still.
Equal representation will not occur on this board. It's impossible. We can't have equal representation. So if we're going to change it, we need to all have that in mind. There will not be equal representation because it's impossible to have equal representation.
Yeah, that's right. And then Colton Wright says, look, man, it's like we got a good idea here. And they're a very collegial board right now. The five of them all do get along quite well. They at least publicly seem to respect and admire each other. And I think it's true based on the ones that I know personally. You know, a couple of them I know better than others. And Colton Wright says, look, we're going to do a good thing here. And then all of a sudden, y'all got freaked out by social media.
But it's all of a sudden because of social media world and some people upset about some things that people are what I view as caving and changing their minds on some things.
Yeah, and I perceive that there's, you know, it's easy to get afraid of the comments online. And I think Kerry Smith was the one who said that he's had to just basically give up on Facebook. I don't know that that's all that bad of an idea for an elected official. You know, some of them are very invested in Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And some of them just turn it off. And I got to be honest, I give you an example. Okay, Twitter. I don't do hardly anything on Twitter. I have an account, and I look at Twitter mostly. I look at Twitter mostly the same way I look at Instagram or TikTok, which is when something comes up elsewhere and it's posted there, and that's where you go to see the original thing. Or honestly, Twitter's pretty good at like the shortened version of some video where you want to see the 1 minute version or whatever, and you're just kind of looking for the audio clip or whatever. Okay, it's useful for that. But, like, living on Twitter and looking at the comments and responding to people and all of that, I mean, it's a disease. Like, it's an addiction. It's so bad. And, you know, the only place where I really operate is on Facebook. And even there, I try not to do a whole lot or read a whole lot or engage a whole lot. And it's probably better off because I am sure there are places on Facebook, I'm sure there are places on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I suppose, where people are very angry at me or disagree with me or have very atrocious things to say about me. Okay, fine. You know, in your dinner party or at the coffee shop and you want to moan about Andrew McKay's bias or something, great. I don't care. I mean, I care in the sense that I want the product to be good. Like, I want to do a good job. I want to be as fair and honest and fact-based as we possibly can. You cannot please everybody. You will always have people who are, you know, trolls inside and out, and or sometimes just in, you know. And those people have found a special flourishing on social media. And so I don't know, if I were an elected official, I think I'd be tempted to just give up on all of it too. I can see the merit in that because it's like the people who are in front of you at the county commission meeting or the city council meeting. You know, the five angry people who come up again and again, or who come up for one particular thing, it feels like that's the whole world. When in fact, in Santa Rosa, 210? I'm super going on memory here. 200 plus thousand people in the county. Five is not 200,000. Even when they say things like, well, we the people think, and they do like to say that a lot. Like, no, you don't. No, they don't. They elected these people, whether you like it or not. And that's who holds the power. And same thing in Escambia County. There's always a, you know, small handful of sort of loud talkers. And if they're good at loud talking, it feels like that's the whole world when they're standing right in front of you. But the truth is, that is an incredibly small slice of the citizenry. And knowing that is an important part of being an elected official, you know, and being able to distinguish between those. And so, and also, by the way, knowing which of them can and cannot ever be satisfied. I thought Colton Wright made a great point.
We talk about regaining the trust of the people, and I think there are some people that will never, ever, ever trust this board, the next board, the board after that. It's human nature that there are some people that choose to be eternally unhappy and choose to always be pessimistic, choose to always look for the fault, always look for the conspiracy. It happens at every level of government. I've dealt with it in business.
100% accurate. Also, I think he's talking about Americans, but okay. No, but that's right. There are some people who, it doesn't matter what you do, they're in it for the disagreement. They're in it for the feeling of power. They're in it for the, you know, making a stink on social media. I would name you names, but because I know who they're talking about, and some of these names would kind of came up in the meeting, but they didn't specify in this moment. But yeah, there are certain people where it doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you do, they're going to be angry at you. And so you, at a certain point, you realize, I can't please those people, so I'm not going to try to please those people. I'm going to try to please the people that actually, you know, if I do well, they're happy, and if I do poorly, they're unhappy. Those are the ones you should aim for.
I've been in retail since I was 18 years old, and the day I finally realized there are customers you will absolutely never make happy no matter what you do for them, it's better to just let them go and understand you can't make them happy. Talk to anyone. Has anyone in this audience ever been a server at a restaurant?
Yes.
There are people that you will never make happy. You can do everything right, and they're still unhappy about it, and they'll still not leave you a tip.
Oh my, this is so true. It's 100% true. And so in government, you know, you have to figure out who's which and who can be satisfied and who can't be. And, you know, he even mentioned he was almost sorry that he brought this thing up because it has, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. Colton Wright was trying to do a good thing, and all of a sudden it turns into this, all your motives are getting questioned. And at a certain point, you'd be like, this is a toxic relationship, and I can't make this work. I'm going to work for the people who aren't showing up and yelling or aren't making these crazy Facebook posts. Let's just ignore that. Which, by the way, rational, normal, healthy people have trouble ignoring insanity. Because we tend to think most people are rational, normal, decent people. And so when somebody says a thing, you think, well, how would I react to that if a rational, decent, normal person said that? And the problem is that, you know, it's irrational, abnormal, indecent people often saying it. And so it bothers you. Even if you know it shouldn't, it bothers you. And that's part of the price tag of being actually kind of a healthy person. Unfortunately, you know, it's only the sociopath that doesn't care what gets said about them, which is usually the kind of people who say the crazy things that bother normal people. Anyway, I thought it was an interesting conversation. They wound up moving ahead with the 10 person. You know, they're going to pick two on Thursday. We're going to get the names then. I'm sure there will be some consternation between now and then about who's. And then once they pick them, there's going to be yelling and screaming about who was on it, because they're not going to have enough time to review the list ahead of time. They're going to get a board. There's going to be 10. They're going to do really good work, almost surely. And then we're going to get some changes to some key parts of the land development code. And in the process, there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it'll be okay in the end. That's my own prediction. 524 on News Radio 92, but that's Santa Rosa County. That's, you know, largely that's kind of the whole process. Also, Milton. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey. Get the GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You just earned yourself a dance with the devil, boy.
Good morning, 527 on News Radio 92.3. See, that cold snap wasn't so bad. Now we're going to be 70 in the, you know, height of the day, or the, you know, peak temperature of the day for the next couple of days. So back to normal. You can crack out the shorts and the flips if you like. Maybe not exactly at this moment when it's 50, but a little bit later, you know, you'll be all right with that. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the United Nations is condemning Russia for the war in Ukraine, but without the backing of the U.S., a resolution that called for occupied territory to be returned to Ukraine passed in the United Nations Monday, the third anniversary of the invasion. The U.S. voted against that alongside 17 other countries.
Countries like Belarus and Russia.
And North Korea as well.
We're surely on the right side of this one.
Yeah. The Vatican says Pope Francis had another restful night in the hospital. He's been hospitalized in Rome now for well over a week with bronchitis and pneumonia. They're saying he does show some signs of kidney failure, but for now they believe that is under control.
What? I mean, it's okay. He's just got a little kidney failure. What in the...
That's
terrible, horrifying news. All right,
not looking great,
no.
but best wishes for him. Delta investigating the source of an onboard haze that forced pilots to return back to Atlanta. They had a flight that had departed for Columbia, South Carolina Monday morning, but was right back at the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport a half an hour later. The nearly 100 passengers had to use emergency slides to exit the plane. Apparently, two people required medical attention.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this, but I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got to do.
You want an airplane?
Well, I mean, could it be a coincidence that they've also just announced a new Cheech and Chong movie? The timing.
Oh, speaking of that, just only because it's like now we've gone, you know, this is step three in the chain of references. There's one of these bills that has been filed. It's got to be the weirdest bill that I have seen. So, maybe not. I don't know. That's a pretty high mark. One of the bills that's been filed in the Florida legislature takes there's a provision of Florida law that says you can't smoke in the workplace, right? So,
right.
Which is, we've now just grown accustomed to these things. And I'll watch a movie where people are, you know, smoking like at McDonald's, you know, with the ashtray that used to come on the table, right? You know, God, I wish I had one just as a souvenir. Anyway, back in the good old days, you know, when we all just were around smoke all the time and everything stank. And now, of course, it's illegal to smoke all kinds of places, including in, you know, restaurants usually and in the workplace. Well, that provision of law is now being tweaked a little bit. There's a bill that's been filed to make it so that you can't smoke in any public place. That's like indoor, outdoor, parks, sidewalks, like, you know, everywhere. Wow. And part of the law that's been filed, the change that's been filed, would be to add marijuana to the list of prohibited smoking devices, like not just cigarettes or vaping devices, but also marijuana, because that's becoming more of an issue. Still exempted, though, in famous Florida fashion, for political purposes purely, the unfiltered cigar. Because the unfiltered cigar lobby keeps making sure that they're safe to smoke the unfiltered cigar around town.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. With a midnight deadline passed, Elon Musk says federal employees will have a second chance to respond to an email demanding a list of 5 recent accomplishments or be fired. Some did it. Some were told by the heads of their agencies to refuse. And the Federal Office of Personnel Management says replying is voluntary.
Musk posted the email request was utterly trivial, as is the standard for passing the test was to type some words and press send. Yet so many failed even that inane test, urged on in some cases by their managers.
Fox's Mark Meredith. Thousands gather in Vatican City to pray for Pope Francis, hospitalized for 11 days now with double pneumonia.
The Pope slept well last night, and we're told he's even watching TV a little bit. Doctors said last night the Holy Father's clinical conditions show a slight improvement. No episodes of asthmatic respiratory crisis have occurred. Some laboratory tests have improved.
Fox's Lauren Green. America's listening to Fox News.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Bob Johnson joins us by phone every Monday at this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you, sir. So the one story sort of incident kind of thing that I caught with your district, your responsibilities, was I guess there was a Walton teenager who was making bomb threats against Santa Rosa County Schools.
Yep, and we had him picked up, and he's going to stand trial here in Santa Rosa County for being a total moron. Yeah.
Do you ever wish that were just the statute, being a moron in the third degree as a misdemeanor?
Well, no, if that was the case, I'd have to build a jail like 50 times the size of my current one. So
what happened in this case? Did he call in a threat? It's a social media thing. What happened? It's weird, too, because it's out of district, right?
Yeah, social media thing. So, and, you know, this is what a lot of people don't understand. They hear bomb threat, and they go, well, he called on the phone, and he called the desk at front desk at Milton High School. Most of the ones coming in now are over social media.
Yeah.
These kids playing games on Xbox games. Oh, you go to Milton High School? I'll be there Monday to shoot that school up. You're going to be dead. You know, stuff like that. That's the majority of them now because, of course, all kids have PlayStations and Xboxes, and that's the way they communicate nowadays.
So the crime is either saying it or posting it, right? Either one?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be over a telephone. It's any communication device, which obviously you can communicate over an Xbox or a PlayStation or a phone or a cell phone or, you know. Yeah.
It's an odd thing. I'd never thought of it till you were just saying it. But kids these days hate talking on the phone. So the idea of a kid calling up a school is probably, you know, pretty unlikely, all things considered. Did the school actually have to get shut down because of this, or did it get to that level?
No, it didn't get to that level. We knew who it was pretty quick, so we could take care of it without disrupting any kind of school functions.
So I'm going to give you your 30-second pitch to any parents or teenagers who might be listening. What do you want them to know not to do ever?
Well, here's the first thing. Parents listening, check your kids' stuff. Check their cell phones. Check their Xboxes. Watch them when they're playing their games sometimes. And you'll hear parents go, well, who needs his privacy? okay, we'll give him his privacy. And when that pedophile gets a hold of him, then, you know, he's got his privacy. It's incumbent upon you as a parent to take care and monitor your kids' activities. So monitor their phones, take their phone from them, look through it, look through their texts, make sure they're not texting adults. And then to the kids, it's pretty easy. If you make a threat against a student at another school or your school or any school function, anything like that, we will find you. We will arrest you. We did it to the guy that was in New Jersey. So we will go wherever we have to go to get you and put you in jail. So it's pretty basic. It's not rocket science.
You know, in our house, having access to your gaming platform, having access to a phone, we were very late to let them have phones. We let them have basically phones so they could watch videos, you know, and play games, yeah. But not to actually have social media accounts or even have minutes. That came very late in their lives, like basically when they were like 16. It's kind of when we waited to. But, you know, having a door on your room is a privilege. Like, it's my house.
Yeah.
And my job is to protect you and to protect people from you. You're my responsibility. You don't have a lot of real robust rights unless I say you do. That's the way it goes, right?
Correct. And I've heard people say, well, it's his phone. Who's paying for it? Does he have a job and he pays for his own phone? Because I don't think that's happening when you're 13 years old. It's your phone, and you can check it anytime you want. And if he says, I'm not giving you a code, well, you're not getting your phone back. Have a good day. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, some of these, I'm with you. Some of these rules should be fairly straightforward. I did want to ask you, because it's kind of been in the news, the training to participate in Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, ICE training, I thought I had seen that you guys had 15 deputies enrolled in maybe what's a four-week course, but it sounds like that's not really a new thing. Can you maybe clarify this?
Yeah, we've been on the WSO. It's basically Warrant Service Officer, where they can serve federal warrants and detainers. We've been on that program since 2019. So all we're doing is beefing up our staff that we currently have as at WSO. So it's not anything new for Santa Rosa County. We've been doing it, like I said, since 2019. Of course, everything came to a screeching halt when Biden got in, because obviously he opened the borders and nobody was deported. So, but now that President Trump's back in, yet they're ramping it back up, and we look forward to it. I think it'll be a great thing.
So it sounds like this is just, and I think you and I talked about this last week, but this is just a certification so that they are eligible to serve these warrants, so they have the proper training to know what's lawful and what's not lawful, right?
Yeah, so basically it's a course on federal law and immigration law, and they learn how to serve the warrants. So because you think about it, how many illegals are in the country right now? They said it was 20-something million, and how many ICE officers do they have? I guarantee it's not 20 million.
Yeah.
So they can't be everywhere at once. So these WSOs basically just step in for them and take their place to serve a warrant on an individual in our jails.
And that is, it's in the jail is where you're going. You're not talking about going to work sites or homes or schools or anything like that.
No. No, WSOs are corrections officers. So they don't have the normal power of arrest that a normal deputy sheriff on the road does. They're corrections officers. But this enables them through the federal system to have the right to serve federal warrants inside the jail.
Is that something that, I'm just kind of curious, is it like they get paid to do this? Is it an extra duty? Is it just part of their job? How does that work with their other job responsibilities?
Yeah, no, it's just basically part of their job. So
Okay. When,
let's say I'm out on the road and I pull over a illegal alien and he's driving with no license, I arrest him, I take him to jail. They're going to book him anyways on my charge. So the WSO just steps in with another charge. Once we let ICE know that, hey, so-and-so was arrested, they'll send us and say either he's got a 48-hour detainer, which means we hold him for 48 hours with no charge, and they get him within that 48-hour time period, or they say, hey, we've got a charge. He came back in the country illegally, so we have a charge. We have a warrant for him. Then the WSO steps in, serves that warrant, and then we can keep him as long as we need to until ICE can get him.
Gotcha. Very good. We're talking to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Bob, I just sometimes like to get your opinion about things, and in this case, it's a bill filed by somebody I know you know very well. Representative Michelle Salzman last week filed a bill that would allow anybody 18 and up to buy long guns in the state of Florida. The federal prohibition against handguns is still in place, of course, but in the state after Parkland, part of the compromise bill that was put in place involved prohibiting 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from purchasing guns. They can still have them transferred into their possession, but they cannot purchase them from a gun dealer. I was just kind of curious, since I know you are a very pro-Second Amendment sheriff, if you had a thought about 18, 19, and 20-year-olds being able to buy rifles and shotguns.
I mean, my thought process is this. You know, I went in the military when I was 18. As soon as I got out of high school, I went in the military. So, and at 18, I was able to give my life for my country if necessary, but I couldn't buy a beer or I couldn't buy a gun. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, if you're old enough to go in the military and fight for the country, you should have all the rights that an adult has in America. That's just me, though. You're going to hear a lot of proponents come out against it. And there's an argument for both sides. But here's the thing. In our country right now, you can get a gun. If you want a gun and you're 15 years old, there are some dirtbags out there that will sell you a gun or give you a gun in some cases. So they're going to get a gun one way or the other. But if you go to a dealer and get it, the one thing you have to do is you have to fill out paperwork. You have to answer all the questions, and they know you have the gun now, which if you're going to do something really nefarious, you know, most times you don't want people to know where you got the gun or anything like that, or have the gun traced to you. So, I mean, you know, it's there's some pros and there's some cons, but like I said, if you're old enough to go fight for your country, you should be old enough to do all the things an adult can do in America.
Yeah, I always think it's weird. Like, you can't really rent a car until you're 25. That's a bizarre one. But I, in my opinion, like, I think people just don't understand what voting is. Because voting is what we do instead of going to war. Like, instead of civil wars to figure out what we do, we have voting. And so the idea that somebody can be eligible to cast a vote but can't be eligible to hold a gun is crazy to me, because the ability to wage war is the precursor to voting. We just do voting instead. And, I've often said that I don't understand why some 19-year-old girl has to depend on the protection of other people for her when she wants to be safe in her apartment instead of being able to buy her own gun. And I'll be honest, I oppose the handgun ban. Like, I think that's the primary weapon of self-defense that people who, you know, might be vulnerable, whether they're, weak or whatever. I want 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to be able to buy a gun because I think that they have a constitutional entitlement to it. But that, you know, I'm glad we're making this move. And I figured you would be. I was just kind of curious to get your take on it.
I would say if they don't want them to have guns, then say you can't go into the military until you're 21.
Right.
Let's see how that works.
Yeah, and can't vote. I mean, take away the vote. Yeah. You know, see if you can push. See if you can do that, right? You know, that would be an interesting move. Sheriff Bob Johnson, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time, keeping us informed and keeping us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
As they like to say, and I think they're not wrong about this, is the First Amendment is the First Amendment. And the Second Amendment is what happens when the first one gets violated. I mean, that's the idea. Like, you know, the conversation around guns is so constrained. We talk so much about kids and schools and mass shooting events, and it's not that that's not relevant. It certainly is. But, and not to be the guy who says, but you know the text. Well, the text is, right, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, open carry, concealed carry, and bear arms, shall not be infringed. And so it's really about the big picture. Like, what was on their minds when they passed this in, what, 17? See, the Constitution was 91 ratified. When was the Bill of Rights? Right in that vicinity, 93 maybe. You're talking about people who had front and center tyranny, oppressive government, the King of England, and, you know, that tyrants are the people who disarm the populations they're trying to oppress. So the Second Amendment in its history was not ever about sport shooting. It was not ever about hunting. It wasn't even, and I know this is something that people don't say an awful lot, it wasn't even really about self-defense, about personal self-defense against, you know, your neighbor who comes to break into your home. It was first, foremost, and fundamentally about protection against tyranny, exterior tyranny from countries outside the states, and interior tyranny from anybody who might get into power and think that it's their right to trample on your rights. I mean, so anyway, just, you know, and so when I say that it's like the vote is what we do instead of fighting, and the guns are there in case somebody tries to take away things like your freedom of speech, your freedom to assemble, your freedom to petition, your freedom of religious worship. I mean, that's really the point. And so if we're going to let 18-year-olds vote, and we do by constitutional amendment, philosophically, you cannot make the argument and be coherent that 18-year-olds shouldn't have the ability to own guns. If they vote, they get guns. That's it. It's really that simple. Unless, you know, they put themselves outside of the social contract by, say, committing a felony, or they're, you know, in imminent danger to themselves or others, which is, you know, these are complicated arguments to make that work in law. But that's historically, there's precedence for that. I mean, that in the time of common law, at the time of the founding, you know, those laws existed then too, you know, in some form. So it's not like you're inventing that whole cloth. And it's not like the founding fathers weren't aware of that when they said shall not be infringed. Sometimes we overstate things, you know, for drama, so to speak. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company, you have to give benefits to your employees. You want them to be happy. You want them to have good benefits. You want to be able to afford them, and you want them to be able to afford them. That's why you get a good company to manage your HR, your payroll, and your employee benefits plans, like health, dental, vision, life, and disability. We have a really good one here at News Radio in Cat Country. It's Torgerson Causey. They're a local company. They've been in business for more than 2 decades, helping companies just like ours and yours handle this stuff. I know when we made the transition to who we had before to them, I didn't realize what we didn't have, and then we transitioned. Like, oh my gosh, this is really great. Better customer service, better options, better plans, better answers when we had questions about what plans were being offered anytime there was a change. So I personally recommend my wife, who's an industrial engineer and efficiency expert, personally recommends them. They're fantastic. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hobbies can be fun.
Yes, sir. Take care.
You want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
I want Byron Donalds to be the next next governor of the state of Florida. And I want Casey DeSantis to be the next governor of the state of Florida. We are in weird times. You know, Governor DeSantis has been looking for the person who's going to take his legacy and continue the, you know, his vision of how government ought to be to, you know, to keep the good times going. And maybe that's his wife. I honestly think she makes a very good candidate. She's done quite a lot of things as first lady, and certainly she's very sharp. I mean, let's say what's obvious. She's gorgeous. People like her. She's very sweet. I mean, you know, she's got sort of all the things going for her other than, you know, straight up political credibility, you know, credit from tasks she's done before. Byron Donalds, on the other hand, is Trump's pick. And will that be the key? That would be, if it were just the two of them, and, you know, Wilton Simpson, the agriculture commissioner, has said that he's, you know, I mean, he's clearly interested in this. Everybody seems to think Matt Gaetz is going to run for governor, and they've been saying it for years. I've never been a believer in that allegation, personally. Time will tell. But if it were, you know, just Casey DeSantis and then also Byron Donalds and then maybe Wilton Simpson, I mean, that would be a really interesting race. I have no idea who wins that race. That's why you actually have elections, by the way, so you can find out who would win the race. 555 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and we've got, let's see, newsroom. We've got David Wayne. I've had so many people changing in the last couple of days that it's like I have to look at you and think, oh, that's who that is now in my positions. Good to have you back, by the way, David.
Well, thank you. I'm changing my name, by the way. I'm now the newscaster formerly known as David Wayne.
Oh, excellent. I appreciate those kind of changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought you would. There's some new guidance on that email that was sent out to all federal employees here yesterday or over the weekend, and yesterday was supposedly the deadline for it. The Office of Personnel Management has issued this guidance regarding the email sent by Elon Musk. The new email, which was sent just before yesterday's deadline, says agencies should review responses and evaluate non-responses, including whether the employee was off work when the email was sent. So Musk posted on X last night as well that federal employees will be given another chance to reply with their 5 bullet points.
I did see, sometimes I can't tell if this comes from the president or from someone. I think there's a Facebook page that like is like on his side but is not from him. And the basic analysis was all they were doing was making sure that they weren't non-existent or deceased employees.
Which makes sense.
We're not going to, you know, if you were, you know, your uncle worked for the government and he died and you keep getting the paycheck through fraud, this is a way to find that out.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Non-responses are the ones you go investigate first. You're not looking at what people say. The fact that they said something is your, okay, we're not going to start with them. But all the non-responses, let's find out why they didn't respond. Maybe they don't exist. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they got fired. And somehow a glitch in the system didn't take them off the payroll. I mean, all these things are possible,
a
right?
A glitch in the federal system, that would never happen.
Would not possibly happen.
The United Nations is condemning Russia for the war in Ukraine, but without the backing of the U.S. A resolution calling for occupied territory to be returned to Ukraine passed the U.N. on Monday, which was the third anniversary of the Russian invasion. The U.S. voted against that alongside 17 other countries, which included Russia, North Korea, and Belarus. And
Thank God we're finally aligned with the good guys.
And leaving that right there, Pennsylvania authorities say the man who held staff at the Pittsburgh hospital at gunpoint before killing a police officer apparently was upset over the death of a family member. This was in York County, Pennsylvania. Authorities there say 49-year-old Diogenes Archangel Ortiz held hostages at that hospital on Saturday and threatened to kill one of those hostages when officers opened fire on him.
Is it Diogenes?
Yes.
Diogenes.
Yes, Diogenes.
The only reason I know that is because it's a Greek name. It's the Diogenes searching for the last honest man with his lantern running around the world. Anyway, that's the only reason I know that name. So when you said it the other day, I didn't catch it. So that's all. But Archangel, not the most common middle name. Kind of cool, though, for a horrible person.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool name. Really? I guess that's about the best you can say.
I mean, if you put the moniker Archangel on somebody, you're kind of, I mean, they're either going to be a superstar or other. You know, they're probably not just going to be like, you know, the manager at the local fast food place for the rest of their life. It's going to go one way or the other, and probably not the just, you know, middle manager at some accounting firm or something.
It's going to be some sort of infamy.
Something weird is going to happen. Oh, coming up next. I never got to cover this because I went on vacation, but the Board of County Commission meeting about OLF-8, where they totally went one way in the morning and then totally went the other way at night, we'll explain how.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.